Hallelujah.
So I've been moved on this trip as I've been here, provoked to frustration with the church, to be honest, because there's a lost and dying world around us. I wish I had the testimony of Bishop Michael. It was his church, downtown Atlanta, rough place. And Bishop Michael was so blown away. He said, "You guys, with your dramas and the music and everything, you preached a sermon." He said, "I've never thought about preaching a sermon this way." He said, "But it was incredible." And it's kind of fun for us that are part of YWAM because God gave us a word at the beginning of the year about it's time for a reset.
Yes.
And he literally said, he said, "Do you know what you guys are? You're a reset." That was your dad's word for the year. Started in Mexico, or Tyler, actually. They got reset, just saying. But it was interesting because he was so encouraging, and so he said, "Lance," he said, and we got it all on video, which was great, because we interviewed him, and then thankfully the guy in the camera left the camera rolling. And so then we caught a personal exchange, and he said, "You know, what you guys have done here has really made me rethink." He said, "I've been in ministry for 40 years, and now seeing this, I realize there's another way to reach out. Thank you." And so I've been provoked, and I want to provoke you guys a little bit. It's kind of all I know how to do. You guys know that. So America is in a special place right now. Not in a good way, special. But I do believe it's a special time to where people are more open to the gospel than ever before, if we know how to share the gospel with them. Because everybody knows we're messed up. Everybody knows things aren't right. We have the privilege of working with the Hispanics in North Carolina, which of course right now with ICE and so on and so forth, they're all in fear for being deported and so on. A lot of them are illegal. We got to work with the African American downtown Atlanta. A lot of need there. And we got to work with some white congregations as well. And there's just something in America right now that people are searching because they know that politics isn't going to solve this.
All right, amen.
But as a church, I think we need to be shaken awake to realize we've got to go. We cannot have the strategy of inviting them to come. So with Kevin working with in the Catholic world in Spain, we've discovered over the last couple of years that the Catholic Church became the culturally relevant religion in Spain for centuries, literally. If you're Spanish, you're Catholic. There's a problem with that, America. Because as Americans, we've got all kinds of denominations and whatever, but you know, as an American, 30 years ago, before I left and everything went to pot, I co-relate those two moments in time. I left and everything just went downhill. But as Americans, it was assumed that you were a Christian. And there's a high percentage of Christianity in America 30-something years ago. There's a problem with that as a church, and that is we get comfortable. We lose sight of how to reach out because we've gotten so good at doing church. We've gotten so good at actually being the church, we forget to be the church. And we've lost sight of how do we reach people that don't know the Lord. So because we've gotten comfortable, because the church was growing and was huge, and there's something about cultural Christianity that kills real Christianity. So as Kevin made reference to, several of the bishops and archbishops in Spain have said to us, one was very honest and very humble, and he said, "We have failed at making disciples." People call themselves Christians, they call themselves Catholic, but they don't know Christ. But it is their culture and it is their religion, and they know all the right words, they know the things to say. Now, they're not practicing, they don't go to mass, they don't do anything, maybe once or twice a year, and they kind of feel like they've done their job for the year. But they still believe they're Christians. And what he said was even more alarming, and I'm seeing it here more and more in America, as I talked to a lot of pastors on this last trip, as they saw a different way of reaching the lost rather than reaching the Christians. They've all said, "We don't know how to reach the world." That's a problem. American Christians. That's a problem.
Amen.
Because there's a lost and dying world out there that we have no idea how to even have a conversation with because we're so disconnected. And there's such a culture, and there's one of the things that Tabitha loved about America when we lived here is you can have a safe place for your family to grow up. You can have a Christian atmosphere. You can listen to four different Christian radio stations here in Ocala, Florida. I remember talking to Dad when we were heading back to Spain, and he's like, you know, why Spain? There's so much need in America. And my answer was, Dad, in Marion County, there's 400 churches. This is 25 years ago. There's 400 churches, four Christian radio stations. There's Christianity all around you. If you want to find God, he's easy to find. In Spain, there's 7,900 cities without a Protestant church out of 8,022. There's maybe two Christian radio stations that I wouldn't wish to listen to on my worst enemy. There's Christian TV that nobody watches. One channel. I know, I have a program on it. You're probably still playing those reruns. And a lady at the airport did recognize me from my television program. She did. My kids thought I was famous. But the gospel is not readily available. My problem is that I'm here in the States this time. I'm going to some beautiful churches, beautiful people in the church, but so disconnected from society around us that we don't know how to take the gospel to them. And I want to challenge you guys with something because America's in a desperate situation. And as a church, it's our job. As a Christian, it's your job to figure out how do we reach the lost.
Amen.
You got to get this. It is your job as a follower of Christ to do what Christ did.
Amen. Amen.
I don't think I'm going to be able to share what's at the depth of what I want to share, but we're going to try. We're going to try. We're just going to hop right in. And I've already shared some of this before, but it's become more clear to me today. I made a video on YouTube because a friend of mine said, Lance, you need to get this in a video format so people can listen to it. And I realized that God challenged me last year again that it's our responsibility. And I'll just say it. It's my responsibility, but I believe it's yours and yours and yours and every single person in here, every single one of you, it is your responsibility to figure out how can I be a part of reaching the lost.
Amen.
Maybe you're not an evangelist. I always say I'm not, and I'll go to the grave saying that. Pretty good at doing altar calls, though. I really am, and I have no idea what I'm doing. Gary, one time I went to do some fundraising for some of my staff up in northern Spain. I spoke on their behalf. I got home, and Gary said, so how many? So we mean how many? Don't you mean how much? And when you're doing fundraising, the question is how much, right? And he's like, no, how many? I'm like, how many new partners? He said, no, how many people gave their lives to the Lord? I'm like, well, that's a ridiculous question. I was doing fundraising. He said, right. How many? I said, seven. But that was not what I was there for. He said, yeah, but every time you go, you preach the gospel, and people give lives to the Lord. I'm like, okay, maybe so. But I really feel like it's our responsibility as the body of Christ to figure out how to make the gospel story understood by people that never would want to step inside of a church.
Yeah.
Here in America, more and more and more, every year, at a greater degree, people are rejecting Christianity. They're rejecting religion. They're rejecting church. But they're getting more spiritual in pursuit of something spiritual, but they're not looking to the church for the spirituality.
Right.
We have to figure out how can we share what it is to have a relationship with God in a way that a non-Christian would want to listen to you.
Amen.
It's your job.
Yes.
If you're not doing it, I believe you're breaking God's heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize not everybody's an evangelist. But as a church, we have to have the heart of God. And his heart breaks for the people that don't know him.
Mm-hmm.
He's literally, Tabitha shared one time, and it just blew everybody away. He says, Jesus saw the crowds and his heart was moved to compassion because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. What do you see when you look at the people around you? What do you see when you look at the people around you? Your neighbors that are all happy cutting their grass and trimming their flowers and weeding their garden beds or washing their nice car. What do you see when you go to work and you have people all around you that have no understanding, knowledge, or awareness that they're lost, dying, and on their way to hell? What do you see? Because I believe we need to ask God to open our eyes so we can see what He sees.
Amen.
He was moved with compassion. So what's Christian life supposed to look like? John 14, 12 through 17. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. It's that simple. The things that Jesus did, if we believe in him, we should be doing.
Amen.
That's it. I mean, that's the story. That is the storyline of what Christianity is supposed to be, which means we need to love the people around us. We need to love them enough to share with them, to meet their felt needs so they can actually have their real need met. If you love Jesus, if you believe in him, it says you should be doing what he did. And greater works than these he will do because I'm going to the Father. Jesus says, hey guys, here's the good news. You can do what I do. Matter of fact, you can do greater things than I'm doing. Why? Because we're more people. He says, whatever you ask in my name, whatever he shows you to do, and you say, God, I believe for this because he told you, not just because you have a whim and you want a new car, or you want a new iPhone or whatever it is. Oh, in Jesus' name. No, when God speaks to you, when you're having that intimate relationship, like Kevin or Jessica or somebody was talking about earlier, where you actually have intimacy with him and you hear him and you listen to him, you see, you live like Jesus lived, where he said, I do nothing that I don't see the Father say. I don't do anything for my own will, but I'm connected to the Father. The Holy Spirit lives in me, and I do what I see the Father doing. You're invited to live this life.
Amen.
And if you're not living it, you're stupid.
Amen.
No, I wish I could use foul language, but I can't. Doggone it. I'm serious. By the way, Bill Wilson was at church on Sunday last week. Bill Wilson, we all know Bill, yeah? That guy gave me a new freedom because he insulted the church in such a big way. It was amazing. He was rough, man. He just went, pow, pow, pow. But to live a Christian life without living the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit in you and living like Christ is retarded. It's so dumb because you're only bound with the rules and the regulations and the do this and don't do that. But you're not living the power. The Bible talks about the people that deny the power thereof. You know, they understand the rules. They understand the philosophy. They understand the theology. But they're not living the power. I don't understand why a Christian would want to live that way. It seems very sad to me. Seriously. And as I look at the American church, there's a lot of good things being said. A lot of good things being done, but I don't believe we're doing what we need to be doing to reach those around us. And I want you guys to be praying this morning as I'm talking and let the Holy Spirit convict you, not me, about what you're supposed to be doing. But it says, anything you ask in my name, I'll do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will pray to the Father. He will give you another helper to be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him because he dwells with you and will be in you.
Amen.
If you want to know how to live the Christian life, it's in connection with the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
It's not just saying yes to a bunch of doctrine. It's not saying just saying yes to a bunch of do these things, don't do these things. It's relationship.
Amen.
It's having intimacy with God. You see, there's, if I would have prepared a little better this morning, I would go into the Greek on two words, which describes the church. Oikos and ekklesia. One is household. It's family. It's home. That's what this church is very well. It's where you're at home. You feel loved. We care for the people. We take care of those that are sick and heartbroken. We help people. We're there for them. And we see that in the first church in Acts chapter 2. They actually had all things in common. They were under occupation. They were not in a very nice situation. So they needed each other to just live. And they cared for the widows and the orphans, and they did what the church should be doing, caring. But then there's the other side, which is oikos. I probably got them backwards. Doesn't matter. Which is the mission side of things. It's literally a word that described what the Romans would do when they would conquer a village or a town. They would send a small delegation into this city to impose Roman language, financial systems. Everything about that place was discipled to be Roman. It's literally the same word that's used in the Bible to describe the church. We are to be those that go into situations and change them to be kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our job as the church is to be family, is to love one another, take care of each other, and to go and impose God's will, bring God's will and his kingdom into whatever situation we're in, whether it's at your workplace, whether it's in your neighborhood, wherever we are, and as a church in our city, we should be seeing the kingdom come. That's our job. And when we're not doing that, we're not living what God wants us to live. And it's always our tendency to either be one side, all family, all inward, all take care of us, or like mine is, all out here, take on the world, win the... We need both. And if we want a healthy, thriving church, we need both. I believe a church without mission together is destined to collapse, implode on itself. And I think the American church is imploding. There might be numbers, but the mission's gone. And a church that's just going, 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 not taking care of the people, is destined to die out, burn out. I don't know why people burn out. I don't know. Doing 25 events in 4 weeks might do it. But we can't do any of this without the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Intimacy with the Father. That's how Jesus was connected. He would take time. He'd spend time with his Father. He had the Holy Spirit guiding him in everything he did. I don't know how you're living your life. But I always have to be challenged that this is what the church is about. And the two commandments, it's right there. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says that sums up the law and the prophets. Everything there in the Old Testament is summed up in these two simple statements.
Amen.
How are you doing? Are you loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength? And are you loving your neighbor? Don't self-deceive yourself. Don't self-deceive yourself. Self. A lot of self there. Are you loving your neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Well, we could go into the Great Samaritan, just pretty much anybody you see.
Right.
Are you loving your neighbor? And what does love look like? Love is just say, hey, good morning to you, neighbor. What was that one with Jim Carrey? Howdy, neighbor.
The Truman Show.
It's not just being nice to people. I want to tell you a story. And Kevin, you're going to remind me of who we just ran into that was doing the same thing. I have a friend, he leads a YWAM base. He was in a small town. They'd been there for many years, had a large team because he's an incredible visionary. People follow him wherever he goes. Amazing, passionate guy. And very hospitable. I mean, hospitality is one of the 18 values of YWAM. It's one of the two that I do worst. Intercession's the other one. Just saying. But these guys, they just love people. It's always, they're Brazilian. They're from South America. And so they're just into people. I'm not so much into people. And they love their city. We'll call the city Cáceres, for example. And so there's a city called Cáceres, and they love it. They're there for 5 years. They know all the waiters and the owners of all the restaurants around where they go have coffee, intentionally spending time and loving people. And they would give us a hard time. Yeah, thank you, Lord. No, just hold your thank you, Lords, and amens and hallelujahs, because no, they're a bunch of boobs. I mean, it makes no sense what they were doing. They were loving people, but zero gave their lives to the Lord. You don't love somebody if you don't tell them the gospel. Okay. 5 years. And he was giving us a hard time because he'd come in town and I got a job to do. So yeah, sometimes I wouldn't even say, you know, go have dinner with him or whatever. He's like, Lance, you guys are terrible at hospitality. I'm like, you're right, and you suck at evangelism. Said, you guys are so focused on being nice to people and being friends with people and doing friendship evangelism, but how many people know Jesus because of your 5-year investment of 25 people's lives? He said, well, you know, we're just trusting they're going to believe in Jesus. I'm like, it doesn't work that way. That is not what the Bible says. I said, you need to invite me to come teach on evangelism. What is evangelism? How does it work? So he's like, all right, humble guy, maybe. So he invited, maybe, I don't know, felt obligated to invite me. So I went. I'm not an evangelist. So I took Yvonne and Jumpy with me, who are evangelists. They're amazing. They're just, they can go talk to a tree stump and the tree stump would get saved. And so I taught, and then I said, now when I go, I'll teach for 2 days. Then we're going to go do it. And they had a circus school at the same time. I guess they wanted to be friendly clowns. I don't know. And so we went out in the streets after teaching. And I had some of the circus guys do some of their acrobats. It was incredible. So we gathered a crowd. And then I had Yvonne share the gospel. We had a crowd, about 50 people there. And he just shares his testimony, preaches the gospel. We go talk to people. 7 people gave their lives to the Lord. 2 of them did a DTS. They gave 6 months of their lives when we're trained to be missionaries the next year. And I said to my dear friend, let's call him Junior. I said, Junior, you guys have been here for 5 years and seen 0 people come to Christ because you're just being their friends. That's a lousy friend. I said, we are not loving people if we don't share the gospel with them. We've been here for 3 days and we've seen 7 people come to Christ. And it's not about us because we didn't do anything special. And I did 0, actually. Yvonne did all the hard work. Where was it that we just said? It's kind of like...
Was it with me?
Yeah, it was something we were talking about. But we were just with the church. The Dream Center, North Carolina. Incredible place. Hundreds of people. Hundreds of people every week going there for soccer and learning to speak English and tons of activities. Amazing. When we walked in, Kevin literally said, Dad, isn't this what you kind of talked about years ago about having a neighborhood center? I'm like, it's exactly what I talked about. I think it's one of the best ways to do evangelism. Most of their staff do not know the Lord. They've been giving their lives to this community for 15 years. 15 years. Their staff don't know the Lord. So we do our events. Several of them gave their lives to the Lord. One young kid came with us, and thankfully we've got some pictures thanks to him. Ian is his name, 15 years old. The Sunday morning, he came with us on Thursday. Friday, we went out and did publicity and stuff. Saturday, we did 4 events. Sunday morning, he was at a church service where Camila preached. I thought it was a church service I preached at. I was kind of bummed to find out I wasn't the preacher when he gave his life to the Lord, but... He gave his life to the Lord, and he shared the testimony on Tuesday morning in our team time. He said, you know, I've always known something about God, but now I understand. He said, I've given him my whole life. This being with your team has changed my life because he heard the gospel. He'd been going to this Dream Center for years, but they didn't love him enough to tell him. They love him. They're not smart enough. I won't question their love, but I will question their intelligence. Didn't understand the importance of speaking the gospel. This young kid, great kid, never heard the gospel from people that love him desperately. So when we say, love your neighbor as yourself, I believe there's an implied love them enough to share the gospel with them in a way that they can understand it. Don't be preachy. Let them see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let them see you live your Christian life. Yes. Care about them. Don't just try to proselytize. Don't just try to turn them into Christians. But live a Christian life in front of them, but love them enough to tell them the good news that Jesus paid the price for their sins. And they can have a relationship with God that loves them. Many of you have probably heard of Penn and Teller, the magicians. They have like the biggest show out in Las Vegas. He did a video one time, and I wish he would have been a little better dressed up, because it looked like he was laying in bed while he's doing this video. Or I'd put it on. But he literally says, how much do you have to hate somebody to not tell them about a God? He said, Christians that say they believe that there's a heaven and a hell must hate everybody around them if they're not telling them. He said, because there comes a point in time where if I see a truck bearing down on you, and I see you're going to get run over by a truck, I can scream at you, I can shout, but at some point in time, if I don't hate you, I'm going to run and grab you. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get you out of the way so you don't die. So as a Christian, how much do you have to hate people to not tell them about the Lord? This is an atheist talking. So if you really love people, you will go.
Amen.
The Great Commission, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. We all know it also says discipling them, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And I understand there's that side of the thing, and that's part of what the church, when we gather as the church, I'll actually say, when we gather as the church together, there's teaching, there's discipling, it's coming together to worship, to be encouraged, to be challenged, to be provoked, to go again. You see, I believe there's something needs to happen when we gather to where we're, one of the things that we do in YWAM Madrid, and I think it's, I love it because every week, it's kind of like you guys do. I would tweak what you guys do a little bit, by the way. Testimony times. Genius. But how about we make it testimony times about our mission?
Amen.
One of the things that we do in YWAM Madrid that I really enjoy is we all know that we want everybody to we want people's lives to be transformed. So there's transformation ministry that Tabitha helps lead that's reaching our families and neighborhood around us. They're doing all kinds of activities, but they're sharing God's love in a practical way, teaching, I don't know what they do, sewing classes, art classes, after-school programs, food bank. Tabitha does fitness classes with the ladies. All kinds of activities meeting felt needs, but they're there to love on them, to share the gospel with them. And so last year we saw 30 people give their lives to the Lord through that ministry, do an alpha course, which is incredible. It's amazing. So they're getting plugged into the church that we have. But there's something about we're not just there to do activities. We have a purpose. So Impact, we're always going into schools with Kerygma, to Kevin and Dita's ministry, doing these different things, different events. Everything we're doing, there's a mission behind it, or the people that we know. So then when we get back together, our church service is Tuesday morning. We call it a community meeting. It's literally a glorified church service. And it's 2 hours long. But we get together, and we hear stories of, all right, what did God do this week? But it's about the mission and our lives, but there's something that joins us because we realize we, as the church, we have a mission together. So we celebrate what people are doing about their mission. And it's incredible because then we worship together, we pray together, we hear about what's going to happen this next week. We hear people share, hey, this week we've got this going on, so we can pray for them. We send people out. We send people on their missions trips. But that's every week. And then we come back, we want to hear what happened. Alex, one of our B-boys, one of the guys is there at the very front end here. This guy here. The guy that's upside down. He travels all over Spain taking B-boys with him, breakdancers, that aren't Christians. He just goes with them so that he has an opportunity to minister to them. And then he brings them to our events to dance at our events. It was funny because we were in one event called in Tomelloso in the city down about 2 hours south of us. Two B-boys were great dancers. They do their part right at the front end. And then they're sitting out in the audience and they hear the gospel. And both of them said yes to give their lives to Christ. But there's intentionality. So we want to know, what are you doing, Alex? What's going on with you this? Where are you going this week? Egypt? He goes all over. He's crazy. And he always takes one of these B-boys with him. Whether they're Muslim, whether they're atheist, whatever. This is his mission. And we all know it. We all celebrate it. He's not just going to break dance to break dance. He has a mission. What is your mission? What are you doing to be able to reach people that don't know God? Because there's something about what Jesus did. His example, Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 8. have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but he emptied himself. Now get this, Jesus is in heaven. And he decided, because he loved us so much. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." But what about Jesus? Here's his perspective. Philippians chapter 2. He emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man. Being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He's our example. Hey, buddy. He's our example. He left heaven because he loved us so much. It wasn't comfortable being born in a manger, then having to flee his own country to go to Egypt. It wasn't comfortable being raised in Nazareth. It wasn't comfortable walking around going all over Israel. It wasn't comfortable, but he was living for those out there because he loved them so much. And so I've been provoked this last couple weeks as we've been here in the States. 1 John 4:19 through 21 says, "We love because he first loved us. If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he hasn't seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also."
Amen.
And I don't believe this is just referring to our brother in Christ. We all know the scripture of John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." I read this scripture, Luke 14, when we were going out as Impact. We were just out in the Walmart parking lot inviting people to an event they were about to have the next day. And I'm thinking, what a waste of time. You know, I was frustrated. I'm like, we could be doing a lot of other things. We're out in the hot 100 and something degrees there, humid, nasty, out there with a sign. I'm like, this is just so ridiculous. Well, a couple days later, the next day when we actually did our event, we had families come because we were out there doing that ridiculous act. And they came forward to give lives to Christ. I said, "All right, God, I'm sorry. But listen to this story, because this is God's heart." It says, "But he said to him, 'A man was giving a big dinner and invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his servants to say to those that he had been invited, "Come, for everything is ready now." But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said, 'I have bought a piece of land. I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused.' Another one said, 'I've bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm going to try them out.'" As if he couldn't do it the next day. "Please consider me excused." Another one said, "I have married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come." It was probably the wife's fault. And the slave came back and reported this to his master. Think about this. There's a special banquet that he's invited all these people to. They were all invited, and it's implied that they'd all said yes. But then they were too busy with life. "Then the head of the household became angry and said to his servants, 'Go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' And the slave said, 'Master, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner.'" Hear the heart of the head servant, the head of the household. He says, "Go out and fill my banquet hall. Go wherever you have to go, the highways, the byways, and the lowest places, the encampment of the homeless. Wherever you have to go, compel them to come in." Hear the heart of God. Don't be satisfied with, "I invited my neighbor to come to church." Don't be satisfied with whatever we've done up until now. America is going down. Morally, spiritually, we're on the decline. And if we as a church don't do something, and I believe this little church can do something that can change this city. I'm not saying that to say that. We've got a rinky-dink little group of people in Spain that are starting to change thousands of lives because we realize we have a mission. We have a mission together. And I believe you guys have a mission together. I believe God's called this church to make a difference in families.
Amen.
I believe God's called this church to make a difference in the lives of people maybe other people wouldn't be willing to invest in. But we can't just expect them to come here. We must go.
Amen.
I think it would be really cool to share the event we did. The friends brought it, their friend that was not a Christian. No, you share it. It's your story.
Oh. Yeah, I've actually got some pictures that I didn't grab. You know what I discovered on this trip to the States is many Christians don't have non-Christian friends. And I understand that. Maybe they're a bad influence. Well, you should probably learn to be a better influence. But really, it was one of the biggest frustrations on this trip. Is we do these amazing events. I mean, really, the team does a great job, and pretty much any non-Christian person there gives their lives to Christ. I mean, it's that powerful. But there weren't a lot of people there because most Christians don't have friends. But at this one event we did on that, the one I used all the pictures from, I went up to this group of 14, 15-year-old kids, 15, 16, whatever, blonde hair, good-looking, surfer dude-looking guys. And I went up to them because nobody was there. And there's like four guys right there in the front at the altar. I'm like, hey, guys, what's your name and why'd you come forward? And one says, my name's John. I came forward because my friend here didn't know Jesus, and so we brought him. I'm like, well, then you're the one I want to talk to. I said, what's your name? He says, my name's Mike. And I'm like, so why'd you come forward? He's like, well, I just realized I need a relationship with God. He had no idea. He had no idea. But he had three friends that were Christians that brought him to that event so that he could hear the gospel in a way he could understand it. So I'm there talking with him. Then my dear friend Yvonne, who's much cooler than I am, comes up. And I'm like, I'm going to leave you guys with Yvonne because he's cool. And I'm not. And I'm going to go talk with somebody else. So I see these two little black kids. I walk up to him and I said, hey, what's your name and why'd you come forward? And the one says, my name's Steve. And I'm like, great, Steve, so why'd you come forward? He said, well, my friend here didn't know Jesus. And so I brought him. I'm like, okay, then you're the one I want to talk to. And it was amazing. He said the same thing. He said, I had no idea that what I'm really searching for is a relationship with God. People don't know. But you can be the cause of them hearing the gospel. So Kevin and I were talking because I was frustrated. Our first events should have had 200 to 500 each night, and we had 50 to 100 and something the first couple nights, and I was frustrated. I'm like, God bless America. But we realized that most Christians don't have friends that are non-Christians. But most, maybe you don't have friends. I don't know. That's another issue. But I want to challenge you guys to think about the people that are around you on a regular basis. Maybe it's where you go to physical therapy. Maybe it's your chiropractor. Maybe it's your dentist. I don't know. Maybe it's the lady at the store that's always checking you out. Not checking you out, but at the checkout. You know what I'm saying. I don't know what you do in your day-to-day life. But the people around you need Christians to love them enough to reach out.
Yes.
And then you need to figure out with God and the Holy Spirit, see what the Holy Spirit is doing, to say, how do I show them God's love and share the gospel with them? Remember, it's not enough just to show them that someone loves them. That's a great start, but it's not enough. Remember, my friends from the fictitious city of Cathedes. 5 years loving people, but not sharing the gospel. So I've been provoked. I just want to remind you guys, Jesus said in Mark 16:5, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures. Matthew 28:19, go, make disciples of all nations, teaching, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth. The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few.
Yes.
Pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth workers into the harvest. And then be the answer to your own prayer. There's a lost and dying world that needs you to reach out. Maybe they'll never go to a show. Maybe they'll never come to church. But you can share the gospel with them.
Amen.
Let's pray for a second. Father God, I thank you that everybody here has had the opportunity to know you.
Thank you.
I thank you that every person in this room has had somebody love them enough to go and invite them, to reach out to them, to bring them to a church where they could know you. But Father, I want to pray for the ones that maybe won't go to church. I want to pray for the ones that have rejected church, rejected you, rejected religion, rejected anything that looks religious. They're jaded, frustrated, dissatisfied with what they've found maybe at some churches. Father, I want to pray for those that we run into every day that need a Christian to love them enough to go out of their way like you did, to leave the place of comfort and the place of comfort, to be able to go to the place where it's not so comfortable, but because of love, we're moved with compassion. So, Father, I pray first that they can see our good works that can glorify you, that we would live lives worthy of your name, that our example, the way we live our life, would bring you glory. But, Father, I also pray for a holy boldness to be able to speak to those around us about you in a way that they can understand. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would guide us to where we could understand what the other person is hearing when we talk. I pray that you can keep us from being hyper-religious and using words that just build up a wall of rejection. And I just pray for this church that's so special in its makeup to be able to be a church that figures out how to reach the lost here in Ocala, Florida, and all around this area. Father, this church can be an example of what you want to see happen everywhere, that we can see the masses come to know you. Father, we're not going to be satisfied until everyone hears the gospel. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help everybody here. I want to ask everybody to make a decision. I feel like I need to give a challenge. How many of you are willing to actively, with the Holy Spirit, look for opportunities to share the gospel with people around you? Actively. I want to challenge you guys that this week, at least once, find somebody that you can share the gospel with. And then next week, when you come back, in your testimony times, share what happened when you took that bold step of sharing the gospel. And let's make the testimony times about what God has done in you, yes, but also through you.
Amen.
The mission of reaching the lost.
Amen.
And let's make it to where this place is too small.
Amen.
Because there's thousands of people around us that need a family. They need the ecclesia or the oikos, whichever one it is.
Yep.
Love you guys. Dan.